You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Jacksonville, it is a wonderful, happy, happy new year. To all of you and to America for having a president that's got the willingness to stand up and lead and not follow. God bless him. It takes courage to make the calls that he does. So, but it's a wonderful, wonderful happy new year to you guys and gals. And I hope that your Christmas was filled with joy in Christ and your new year celebration was not marked with any tragedies, but hope for prosperity for all of us, the whole world. So, Smart Money, by golly, we're here. We're ready to go. Our first-time listeners, a very special welcome to you guys and gals. Hope that you will be able to stay with us for the full 2 years. As always, our regular listeners, the foundation upon which we build, a very, very special Happy New Year to all of you. And to get back in line, this is what happens when you miss a couple of shows. Good morning. I'm Hank Madden.
I'm Mike Ellis.
And Corey Schrader. How you doing?
No, you're Corey.
I'm Corey Stradamus today.
Stradamus.
We're going to try to make some predictions. But I will say this. If we're here for 2 years today, it's going to be a long day.
If we're here for,
I'm just saying,
years,
this is, we're not, we're you, running 2 hours today, right?
You asked the new listeners to stay with us for full 2 years.
He's just looking for a commitment. That's all.
Exactly.
There,
right?
You go. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable for 2 years.
You know, 2 hours works too.
It really It'll start does. The year off right.
So, yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, both of them.
So anyway, we do thank you guys and gals for listening. Your numbers are ever increasing. I'm always so impressed when I get a chance to meet you, which I had several opportunities over the holidays to do that. So the show, what is it about? A couple of things. We're going to bring you up-to-date financial information, taking a unique twist, though. I'm going to take the events of today, whether they be national, international, or global, and bring them back to you and your home so you can better understand how the decisions of others will have factors that influence your life, both good and bad. You need to understand them. Prepare for the worst, expect the best, and you'll never be caught by surprise. And then at the bottom of the hour, as I originally designed this show decades ago, we're going to open up the lines to you and your questions. And boy, there's all kinds of thoughts, concerns, hopes, desires going on out there. So get your questions lined up and ready. Topics for the day. You know, the socialist liberal, I hate to use the word liberal with them because that's the last thing they are is liberal. The socialist left has always complained about I'm just too critical of them. Well, they bring it on themselves. I'd love to give them laudatory comments, but that's up to them. But today, we're going to look at both sides of the aisles on this and how they went into a reckless spending plan. And it's even worse because the Republicans, so-called conservatives, were leading the way. So we'll see. The Did You Knows?
So for today's Did You Knows, we'll be looking at interesting beginning of the year market trends. With 2019 being such a strong year, many are wondering what 2020 might be like.
Okay, Corey Adamus.
So let's talk about what happened last year before we get to this year.
Yeah,
so,
make sure you get it right.
That's going to be a problem. But we'll try. So if we look at the returns from last year, amazingly, the Dow was up 25, almost 26%. S&P was up 32, and the NASDAQ was up about 36. So not a bad year last year. When we look at what's going on so far for 2020, Let's talk a little bit about what happened this week. So stocks were a little mixed, obviously, with regarding Middle East tensions. You know, we had obviously a airstrike that sends stocks lower. Here's where the power of diversification comes in, because gold, oil, and bond prices were rising as a result of that. But stocks started the week on a strong note, and then President Donald Trump tweeted that he'd have a signing of the initial trade agreement negotiated in December on January 15th. So that was good news. And then we had the U.S. airstrike on, I don't know his name. Mike, do you know his name?
Doesn't matter. Okay. No, I can't pronounce it.
All right. So either way, because of that, we saw a moderate jump in oil. It was about 4% in gold prices. Had the most immediate result. Longer-term Treasury yields also plunged as investors started seeking out safe havens, obviously because of escalating tensions in the Middle East. You know, when we looked at the overall markets for the week, we had the Dow was up about 34.34%. S&P was up about 0.15, and the NASDAQ was up about 0.5%. I went ahead and I looked at that. If that was on an annual basis, you'd be averaging about 7% if we got that week over week. So not bad.
Yeah, who gave that prediction, 7% for the
market? No, well, you said last year.
No, that was your call for
2020.
Oh, was it? Yeah. So that's why I was fighting you about it. I was like, no, we had about 20. But either way, we'll talk about it later.
You know, we've got to recognize these yahoos in Washington for the self-serving group of folks that they are. Still got rain all over my glasses. I don't know about you, but it's raining where we were. But anyway, okay, spending. You know, spending affects so much of what we do and where we're going. So, you know, we did have Congress leave town for the holidays, but that was not before. And this was another bipartisan spending party that was typified the Trump presidency. That man likes to spend money. The numbers deserve notice, though. Likely to have more long-term impact, more so than the impeachment will. Lawmakers, they not ran but galloped through $1.4 trillion. These numbers are just amazing. $1.4 trillion in discretionary spending before the rest of the fiscal year. And then a bipartisan deal on the budget outlines in August was proposed. Well, that was to give Congress time to negotiate 12 individual spending bills. Well, as usual, they couldn't agree, so they piled it all into two bills totaling more than 2,300 pages. Well, at least they're detailing how to spend $1.4 trillion. That's a lot of money, folks. We deal in money. That's a lot of money. A day later, they added a list of tax subsidies. Congress can act and prove they can fast when it's greasing its own skids and wheels. The political secret to this bipartisan blowout is that the Republicans get more for defense in return for giving the Democrats more for social welfare. I'm for the defense. I'm not for keeping people in economic slavery. Well, $860 billion national security bill gave President Trump a $1.375 billion for his border wall, and this was despite the vows from the socialist Democrats, they did get none. The White House also won $738 billion for defense, $22 billion more than last year, and funding to create Mr. Trump's Space Force, which, you know, is, I know that sounds ridiculously overly Star Wars type, but look at Reagan in Star Wars, and then when you look and read military scenarios, they're going to begin from outer space, the next wars. That's right, satellites, communication, GPS, internet, and so on. Democrats crashed in with $555 billion for domestic priorities, $25 million for gun violence research. What a boondoggle that is. $425 million in election security grants. That just means this is another way that we can lock up the voting machines so that we can get more votes. Just tell us what we need and we'll give you a number. Now, this is money also went for Head Start and early childhood education. They increased funding for the, and I'm surprised about this one, Environmental Protection Agency, since the Republicans own it right now and have done a good job of cutting out regulations, and Medicaid for Puerto Rico. Farm state members added $1.5 billion in disaster relief on top of the $3 billion Congress passed earlier this year. GOP Senator Chuck Grassley delivered a big tax break for Iowa's biodiesel blenders, and the tax bill also showers, and I love this one, this has got to be Kentucky, on distilleries, racehorses, NASCAR, that's North Carolina probably, owners, and short line railroads. You know, these blended fuels, folks, they don't help things. They destroy engines. They create a mass amount of pollution for the Mississippi River that runs about 200 miles offshore. Consumes vast amounts of aquifer for something that is really, really doesn't work. And this panel that did the study on it made that recommendation. It was Florida Senator Bob Graham, Democrat, who cast the deciding vote to say, no, we need to have ethanol. Oh, well. In return now, Republican tax writers were also able to pass a small list of corrections to their 17 reform. The only good tax news was an agreement to repeat permanently three tax increases, or to repeal, rather, that the Democrats passed to make the phony Obamacare numbers look real in 2010. They got rid of the Cadillac tax on high-cost health plans. Well, that appeased the unions because of the extremely rich, rich benefits that they've been able to negotiate in health care. The Republicans, in turn, were able to repeal permanently taxes on medical devices and health insurance. Export-Import Bank was reauthorized for 7 years. Federal flood insurance program was extended again through September without any reform. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin landed his bill requiring taxpayers to underwrite the pensions of health care of retired coal workers. That should be a state function. Senator Murkowski was able to protect Alaska salmon from competition. Pelosi included an earmark for the Presidio Trust, which is a beautiful, beautiful park, and the military has a school there. Been there. It's beautiful. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell raised the minimum age to buy tobacco to 21. The Club for Growth notes that the bills increased discretionary outlays by more than $175 billion over last year, and budget watchdogs estimate the higher spending caps Congress agreed to this summer will add $1.7 trillion to the national debt over 10 years. Debt held by the public as a share of our GDP is close to 80%. Folks, now we're getting really, really dangerous. The budget problem isn't a shortage of revenue, and that's what makes this even worse. CBO says tax receipts grew by 4% last fiscal year. Remember, the socialist left said, no, this tax bill is going to kill taxes and we're going to be in deep trouble. Well, through September, and a 3% in the first 2 months of 2019. Economic growth is feeding the Treasury, but spending its growth spending is growing much faster, 8% last year fiscal year, and then more than four times the inflation rate, and 6% in October, November of fiscal year 20 or calendar year 2019. In addition to the latest discretionary bill, spending on Social Security 6%, Medicare 6.1, Medicaid 9.2 continue to soar this year, and neither party has any inclination or desire to stand up, be counted, and say, I represent America and the people, and to protect it, and do something about the ridiculous spending. Okay, those are my thoughts. You may not agree with them, and that's okay. Folks, we're going to take an information timeout. You're listening to news. What are we calling ourselves today? 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. And it is 10:22, and the beautiful Mystic Minx is here, the Christmas Elfette. We would be lost without her. God bless. Folks, we'll be back in just a few, but before we go, did you know?
Can you guess what years had the best and worst performing Januaries on record for the S&P 500? We'll talk about it after the break.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money, the first show of 2020, and we hope your year, new year, is starting out fantastically well. You're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. It is 10:26. Did you know?
So the worst January was in 2009 when the S&P posted a negative 8.57% decline, and the best January for the S&P 500 was the January in 1987, where the index posted a gain of 13.18%.
Well,
wow,
that's a pretty big January, 13.
That's a good bounce back.
Yeah, of course, you had October in 87, which wasn't fun, but...
Yeah, and I'm sure 2002 and all that played into it, too.
Well, the funny thing about that year, though, is it still ended positive.
Yeah.
I still contend that last year's return, and don't get me wrong, I ain't willing to give it up, partly was influenced by the market correction that we had in the fourth quarter, predominantly December, of 2018, and the market was down 19.5, not because of any justifiable conditions, employment, rising interest rates, inflation, falling business investment, etc. It was all because, predominantly, the Fed said, we're going to raise rates twice in 18 and four times in 19, and the market went bonkers and dove, bottoming out Christmas Eve. Then the Feds reversed themselves, and there are a couple other factors in there as well. But then they reversed themselves the following week in between Christmas and New Year's, and bam, the market takes off on a rip. And by the first, I think, two or three weeks in 19, the market had made up the loss and was at a profit. I think the real return, if you strip out that influencing factor, was closer to about 8.5%.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, it'd be about right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
okay, Corey Damas.
Corey Damas. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where, you know, you see a 20% return. I'm actually more concerned about, you know, any sort of fallout in just the, you know, I use the term correlation, but it's one of those things where everything is reacting very similarly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this week was a little bit different with what happened with the airstrikes, and, you know, it was a little bit more of the what we would expect from a normal perspective. You know, people get scared. They jump into things that are, will protect them, like gold and the U.S., basically treasury, things like that. So I don't know. I think this year is going to be very interesting, especially the way we're starting out. But there's a lot of positive in there, too.
Yeah, you never make a long-term decision on short-term events. And unfortunately, that happens with a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And we can talk about, I can't, where do they go? First half hour is gobbled up. Okay, Corey Adamas, we'll have to carry over.
We'll make it happen.
That'd be a good name.
We'll make it happen.
Okay. Folks, it's here. That's right. That mystical time, now the show belongs to you. Lines are open, 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. So call and call now. We're going to bring you up to date Fox National News, the local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. You and your calls, did you know?
So did you know why January is such a significant month for the markets.
Yeah, it's the first month of the year.
Corey?
Tax planning.
Well, we'll talk about it after the break, but I do have to say, you're both a little off.
The red light district is in again. Hey, folks, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk radio. Yes, lines are open, 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Call and call now. There is a lot of stuff happening. Particularly if you were an RMDer, well, we got some more information for you because of the Secure Retirement Act. But anyway, give us a call. Did you know?
So did you know January is so significant, there's actually an effect named after it. The January effect was coined because of the large amount of trading activity that can
credit card bills come in.
Because of a large amount of trading activity that can drive up prices at the start of the year. Fund managers, pensions, trusts often reposition their holdings between late December and early January, hence the January effect.
Yep. And that's why you tend to see a 10 to 12% reversal every single January to February. I mean, it's not rocket science, but it is very, very emotionally driven. So if you see that and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what happened?
I think you'll like some of the ones I got in the pipeline
too. I'm super excited.
I've got to say,
numbers people,
I have been forgetting to do this, and there's no excuse. I just want to give a very, very special thank you to Kuhn's Flowers for just what they do throughout the year. The ladies that work there that help you with your order, utterly incredible to work with. Fantastic. The company itself always has given us more than what we have asked for. And they do it in the service, the quality of the arrangement that they bring to us over the holidays. Fantastic. And then if you have not done it, I hope that it's still up. It might be if we're lucky for a week. They put on a Christmas display each year that reminds you of something you would have found, I guess, in New York at Macy's or some other similar store. It's a fantastic, fantastic display. So Kuhn's Flowers, God bless you, your management, but most importantly, your employees that make it work. Thank you so much. Okay, Mike Mandarin, you're selling a house.
I am.
Great.
And I haven't sold. I'm under contract.
Nice.
Sold in 4 days.
What price range?
250.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's that magical number.
It absolutely was. I had a lot of interest at that price.
Did you actually bid up on it, or you got exactly what you asked for?
Well, actually, I had two buyers come in the same day and put the offers in. And so we got in somewhat of a bidding war, which drove the price up to full price.
Beautiful.
I love it.
Perfect.
I love it.
Where are you moving to?
So actually, I'm moving downtown. I'm actually moving to an apartment downtown.
Oh, wow.
I work downtown, so it makes more sense for me transportation-wise to be there because I'm on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
How old are you?
I'm 65.
Wow.
Really?
Yes, I am.
I was getting ready 40s. To say, okay, another millennial. Well, actually, you're equivalent to two millennials, so there you go.
Actually, I'm moving in with a bunch of them, be honest with you.
Ah. Yeah. Learn them something.
I can make some comment from a male's perspective about there being all 32, 35-year-old beautiful females, but I won't do that.
I hear you. Yep.
So, okay.
I hope to teach them a little bit of something, too.
So you're trying to figure out, okay, what do you do after the purchase? So I'm assuming you're not going to put it into the new property?
I am not. No, I'm actually renting, so I have about 125,000 to 130,000 hours in cash that I just need to know something safe. So my wife is also going through some health risk right now. So I can't put it away and keep it forever. You know, a real long term, I have to be able to get to some of this in case I would need it for hospitals or insurance when it doesn't pay. Well, thank you. Thank you. So I have to, some of it I have to keep somewhat liquid that I could pull back out if I need to. Don't think I will. I have great insurance, but you just never know.
Let me give you a definition, Mike, that a lot of times folks just don't understand. You've got liquidity and you've got marketability. Liquidity is the ability to surrender an asset, and there is absolutely no risk to the principal. You forego yield for return of principal. Marketability is the degree to which a secondary market exists to purchase the asset. Now, you were blessed, but take real estate as an example, is generally doesn't rank high on the marketability scales unless you're in that very sweet spot, which you were. On the other hand, a share, say, of IBM, Apple, they're highly marketable. There's always a willing buyer for any willing seller. But the deal is that in both cases, they could be worth more or less than what you paid for it. So when you say, I want high liquidity, that pretty much restricts your investment alternatives to assets with under a five-year maturity. That's kind of the business cycle, that short term for us. So you're into T-bill, CDs, and money markets. Whereas if you go over 5 years, it can be longer. Now, do you have other assets, retirement accounts or other cash assets?
Yeah, I have about $250,000 that I've been investing for several years. So it's growing nicely.
Is that an IRA or something of that nature?
Mostly in mutual funds, spread it out through mutual funds.
Okay.
And it's done well. I have in the last couple of years drawn back. It got a little safer in what I'm investing in, of course, because of my age.
Okay. Do you have a formal written blueprint for how that $250,000, which is a house, is invested?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Well, congratulations.
My financial planner does have that, yes.
Well, congratulations. Okay. All right, guys. Corey Adamus, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, I think the way I look at it, as you were talking, I mean, the biggest thing for me would be want to know where the overall risk areas are for you, like you were saying, with the medical needs and those types of things. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do is put it into anything that might potentially fluctuate on any level of medical need that you have, right?
Correct.
You know, so it's a cost benefit, you know, analysis. You can put it in a money market. You know, there's potential risk there, but, you know, you have more liquidity there than you would with a CD, and you lock it up for, you know, a year, 2 years, and you only get 1.5, you know, almost 2%. So,
yeah.
You know, so what I would say is in how we handle it and how we plan is we would look at, okay, what is your emergency needs within the next 5 years? Let's go ahead and set up a plan with that, whether you laddered it, whether you keep it completely liquid until you have some level of certainty. And then anything beyond that 5 years, even with, you know, your other assets and everything, we'd want to look at, okay, what's the growth we're looking at? What's the actual objectives, goals, you know, to get you to from A to B as quickly and safely as possible. You know, that's kind of how I look at it.
And when he's talking about, when he's talking about the emergency needs, do you know from you mentioned your health insurance coverage, do you know what your maximum out-of-pocket is?
Yeah, it's only $3,000, but I do have a $1 million cap on it.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't, you know, with cancer and so forth, stage four, I could get to that point down the road.
What's your annual restoration? You've got an annual restoration. How much is that?
I don't recall offhand.
Okay, you might want to check that. It could be around 20,000, could be 10,000. But that will help you with that outlay and that $1 million cap.
Okay.
So it again, you're in a situation where what you're describing is more important that I have return of my principal than return on my principal. If what I might do, I would probably go out no more than 3 years and do some laddered CDs.
Okay. You know, and that's kind of where I was leaning toward, but I didn't know if that was the correct move for me or not.
Well, you know, I always believe in this, too. Yeah, I plan, but the genesis of everything I do always begins with a prayer, Mike. I just wait for a period of calm, and I'll know whether I'm doing right or wrong. It's just, I'll know. That's the best answer I can give you there.
So it's funny that you say that, because we've been in, my wife and I are strong Christian, and we've been in prayer, you have no idea how much, for what she's going through. And also we started praying about what we're going to do with this money. And I just happened to turn on your channel this morning, and I thought, I have a question for these gentlemen. I don't know what.
Well,
you tell me the God doesn't work in mysterious ways.
I am honored and humbled that you would look to us in that vein. That means a great deal to us. I can only tell you this, and this is from my own life experiences, and I can give you example after example of where prayer in Christ has stepped in and altered a course of action. So it's there. It's all in the hands. And I know a lot of you listeners can say, get out of here. Well, okay, that's, you know, that may be your opinion. But it is all in the hands of Christ. It's our ability to talk with him. We don't have to go through all these saints and genuflexes and everything. He gives us an open line wherever you are, just to open up and say, you know, this is what I'm dealing with. I need help.
Well, it does. You know, we made this decision to move downtown a few months back, and it's a God thing, because he's put us 5 blocks from MD Anderson, where my wife will be doing treatment at. So,
oh, wonderful.
You know, it's just amazing how God works. And you don't know it at the time, of course. You know, I didn't know that we're going to be going through this months ago when we decided to move there. So it's just amazing.
Our hearts go out to you and your wife, and our prayers are with those. So let us know, Mike, how we can continue to be of service. If you wish to talk to us in private, just give us a call at the office, 296-1127.
That's your number.
Yeah. If you need to come in, we don't charge for an hour consultation. We're here to serve you. You're not here to serve us.
I appreciate that very much. Appreciate it. Love your show, guys. Keep up the good work.
Mike. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay. Wow, I can't believe it. We're going to have to take
another break.
An information timeout.
Hey, but we're doing it early today for a change. It's awesome. That means we have a good long segment to wrap up the hour.
Okay, folks, you're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Remember, them bar lines, they be open. 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Call and call now. Did you know?
Can you guess what percentage of the time the S&P 500 posts a gain for the year when it has a gain in January?
100% of the time.
Nope.
I'm going to say it's in the 90 percentile.
Ooh, still high. I would win if I had taken the under. We'll talk about it after the break.
The Christmas elf hat has got riled up.
Riled up.
Corey Adamus has threatened to throw a watermelon at Michael, and she said, well, he's got his mama right here.
It's a new year, baby.
Yeah. Hey,
game
folks.
On.
Watermelon, huh?
Welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5. WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Yeah, lines are open, 855-765-1045. Did you know?
So did you know when the S&P 500 has a positive January, it ends the year positive over 86% of the time?
Well, dadgum, I was off 4 percentage points. Whoopee-doo.
Now, in those years when January is positive, the S&P and the S&P ends positive, the average gain is 19.13%. Yes. And if the indicator is wrong, then the average loss was 5.2%.
Okay, so real quick, and I know we got to take a caller. As an options trader like myself,
yeah,
an 84% probability.
That's good.
Hello. And my downside is 5%.
Yeah.
I'm doing some numbers. I mean,
that's why I made sure to tag that down there.
Or Corey Adamus, I want to throw this out so you can set Mike up later.
Yeah, I got you.
Our last call, Michael, I meant to ask him when he said my portfolio was all mutual funds. He didn't differentiate were they managed mutual funds like some mutual fund family or were the ETFs. Your thought?
Yeah, I mean, and this is a big pet peeve of mine. So it, just in my tenure of just managing funds, I constantly look at different investments, and you'll be surprised that you can probably find of the mutual funds that are out there, 90% of them have an exchange-traded fund or an ETF that is actually a quarter of the price with the exact same investments. And I constantly show people that day after
day.
Now,
when you say a quarter of a profit, that's the internal management.
The internal management cost, yeah. So you'll have a mutual fund. Like, I worked at Fidelity for forever, and most of their funds range from 0.5% to 1.25%. Well, there's ETFs that are 0.05, 0.07, and you just show people, and they're like, what? That's crazy. So I know Mike has a lot to talk about it, too.
That's also an extra percent per year on average into your gain that you get to
and
keep.
For doing nothing but just swapping the type of investments.
Exactly.
Okay. We've got to get to Alvin in Middleburg. Alvin, you're important. Oh, hey, Happy New Year, my friend.
Yeah. Happy New Year to y'all guys, too, Mike.
Okay.
And Corey.
So,
can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Alvin.
Okay. Yes, the question is dealing with the Social Security. This is I'm younger than my wife. Okay, she's 62 and I'm 58.
Okay.
So there's something about spousal benefits. So how does that work? Because looks like I would have to be older collecting. I have to turn on Social Security for her to get the spousal benefit. How does that work? Okay, she claimed spousal benefit now.
So she won't be able to claim a spousal on you until you've turned yours on. Now,
okay.
He's got to be 62. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, he's got to be at least 62 if she wants to claim a spousal on you. Now, the way the spousal benefit works is it's based on your full retirement age amount and when you took it. So if you wait till your full retirement age, then she will basically get the biggest possible spousal benefit that's available. If you take yours early at 62, it impacts the size of her spousal benefit. So there are all sorts of little ins and outs to make sure that you're aware of and read up on before you, you know, make a final decision on what you're going to do with your Social Security.
Okay, then.
Now, I may have misunderstood. I thought, Alvin, you were talking about your wife is already turned on. How can you get spousal benefits? Am I correct or incorrect?
You're incorrect. No, she's not turned on yet.
Okay.
But since you brought it up, if she were to turn hers on,
right.
I have to be at retirement age to. Does it work like that? Does it matter who's older?
No.
It doesn't matter who's older, but when you turn yours on, you would not be able to turn it on before 62, even if she's over 62.
Uh huh. Okay. Now, if I turn mine on, can I turn it off and then take my regular one? Let's say if I wait maybe 2 or 3 years and turn my spousal one off and turn my regular one on. I don't want to make it sound too confusing here.
No. I understand that question. There was actually a Social Security law change. I think it was 2 years ago. You used to be able to do that. You no longer can.
Yeah, about three.
You are
filing suspend.
You'll hear what they call deemed filing. I mean, it's when you turn it on, you get the biggest benefit that's available to you at that time, and that's it. You can't choose which one you're getting.
So that's it. If your retirement benefit is larger, then you would get yours rather than your wife's, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, then.
I hope that makes you a happy camper.
Yes, I'm a happy camper. Just trying to get up. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at maybe waiting a couple more years, because looking at the time, I guess it depends on how the family or how your budget is, whether you want to turn it on or turn it off. But once you turn it on, can you turn off and say, if you want to make an adjustment, you have a year to change your mind? Is that how it goes?
So you can always suspend afterwards. But if you want to increase your benefit, you would have to pay what you received back.
So now here's another factor. Does your wife plan on working once she turns on her benefit?
No. Not here, no.
Okay.
All right. Because you've got an earnings requirement you've got to deal with. It's what, 14,000, Mike?
I think it's higher than that.
17?
For married joint.
She can only earn so much money before she starts losing a dollar for every $2 she earns.
Yep. I think it's in 17,000 range, almost 18.
I'd have to look at the tables, but there is a requirement. So, Mike, I hope, or Alvin, I hope that we've been able to be of service to you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was great. That's great. You got an understanding there.
Okay. Well, God bless and have just. Have a blessed and wonderful Happy New Year.
All right. God bless y'all, too. Y'all keep it up.
Take care.
All right, Bye-bye. Alan. Take care.
Wow. Boy, he didn't let that one slip by.
Turned on that music there.
Okay. Folks, we got to get out of here. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It's 11:01. We're going to bring you up to date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. And did you know?
So we just did a few minutes ago what happens if January is positive, but can you guess what percentage of the time the S&P 500 loses money if January is a negative month?
The reciprocal.
16%.
That's what I was
thinking. I know.
The reciprocal.
It's not the reciprocal.
Well, that's been a dumb question.
24%.
Nope. What did you say, Scotty?
24%. That was me.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll talk about it after the break, though.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Hour 2. You got that, Corey Adamus?
Oh, good. It's not
I
here.
Knew it was coming.
Hour 2.
the irony in
the
that
irony.
Statement.
Apparently, I opened a show saying, I hope you'll be with us for the next 2 years. Well, I do. But at least for the 2 hours, mm-hmm. You know, that's a little bit easier to bite. But anyway, welcome to Hour 2 Live Smart Money on this beautiful Saturday the 4th.
Yep.
Wow. Before you know it, this January is going to be over, folks. Anyway, you're listening to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Yeah, lines are open, 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045, as the beautiful Christmas Elfette will tell you. Are you still an Elfette?
No.
No, she's no longer an Elfette.
That was a vigorous head-shaking no.
Yeah, she is the beautiful Mystic Minx. Okay, did you know?
So did you know when the S&P 500 has a negative January, it only ends the year negative a little over 47% of the time?
I don't like your question.
Fake news.
When January is negative and the S&P ends lower, the average loss is 16.39%. However, the other 53% of the time, when January is negative but the S&P ends higher on the year anyway, anyone that sold misses an average gain of 10.82%. In fact, several of the best years came when January's indicator was wrong.
As well, you're just all over yourself with that one, aren't you?
Nope. Very proud of himself.
Okay. Well, we've got a good question coming up here. Beth St. Augustine, Happy New Year, dear person.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. And your question.
Hi. Yeah, so I love your show. Thanks for what you do. Appreciate you very much. My mom lives with me, and she has for a couple of years, and she gets Social Security. And I was wondering, can I claim her as a dependent on my taxes? And then if so, can I then claim head of household?
Me.
I don't see anything, do you?
I don't see.
Oh, wait, he's a real person.
Oh, that's right.
I gotta see a penny. Come on.
All right.
Look to your left.
I gotta run.
Hey, Beth, got a quick question for you. As far as the tax purposes goes, what they're gonna look at is who provides the majority of their support. Does your mom pay more than half of what it costs to support her?
I mean, if we're talking about, you know, the home and the utilities and the, you know, I pretty much cover all of that.
Okay.
What about food and
everything else, right?
She buys a lot of the groceries, but it's just the two of us, so.
Okay. Well, if anyone ever comes to try and argue against you, anyone being the IRS, you have to be able to dollar for dollar show that you paid more than she did for her support. So that's the first thing that you want, the first hurdle you're going to want to make sure that you can clear. If you provide more than half her support, then you can claim her as a qualifying dependent, which will give you a $500 non-refundable tax credit. So that's
$500 or $800?
$500. So that's a dollar for dollar, whatever you owe in taxes, subtract $500.
Okay.
The other thing, are you working outside the home? Do you have to, you know, get any care for when you're out of the house and she's still at home?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Because the other thing that you would be able to potentially look at would be the child independent tax credit, child independent care tax credit. That gives you a tax credit for part of those costs if you had to do, like, somebody in the house while you were out for the day or whatnot. The last thing.
Yeah, no,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say she's good. She's retired, but not disabled or anything.
Okay. And then the last hurdle that you have to clear is the income test. So, do you make less than $200,000 a year?
I'm a little bit, yes.
So then that means that you would get that full credit.
Okay.
It's $400,000 for the listeners. It's $400,000 if you're married filing joint, $200,000 for everybody else.
Okay. What about the head of household? Because I think that
if she's claiming a dependent, she would be able to file head of household.
Okay.
That now that's going to help you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I got a pretty significant increase in my income this year, and I'm afraid that I'm gonna get the smackdown when it comes to be tax time. So I'm just looking for any avenue I can, you know, to help me out with that.
Do you require all of your income, Beth, to live on?
Yeah, pretty much, unfortunately.
Okay. The reason I was asking is, does your company have a 401k?
Yeah, TSP.
Okay, TSP. All right. Were you living adequately prior to your big bump up in income?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just hearing this. Now, I don't want to hear this, Madden. Come on, let's go to another direction. Well, you can go buy a boat with it, a new car, or, odd as it may sound, since you were able to maintain your financial integrity without this increase, you might look at putting it into your 401k, the worst thing that'll happen is that when you get older, you'll have more money in there, because one of two things are going to happen. You're going to die within a very short period of time, or you're going to screw up and live. If you live, then the extra money would certainly be a benefit to you at a future point, and you get a tax deduction for it as well.
Okay.
Okay, sweetheart. Listen, Beth, I wish the very, very best to you and your mom, and the blessings of a wonderful, happy new year.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Let's see. Oh, why don't we take an information timeout and be timely? Oh, my, my.
Thea Jeffers.
What was that?
Hi,
what?
Thea Jeffers.
That is what happens when you push the wrong button. We call that a operator error.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take an information timeout and sell some products. You're listening to News 104.5. WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Yeah, lines are open, 855-765-1045. And the Mystic Minx will tell you that she's no longer the sweet, loving Christmas elfette. Ask Corey Adamas, he'll tell you. So, did you know?
Do you know what happens when the S&P 500 does, or do you know what the S&P 500 does in years when both January and the first quarter are positive?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I didn't hear the question. I'll catch it on the other side, though.
Yeah, we'll catch it on the other side.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money, your free arms.
What?
What?
I can't say
free arms? What?
Welcome back to Smart Money on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk station. Yep, lines are open, 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. That's a beautiful Mystic Minx will ask you to call. Okay, did you know?
So in years where both January and the first quarter are positive for the S&P 500, the S&P finishes the year positive over 96% of the time, with an average return of 18.58%. On the years where it hasn't fit that, hasn't followed that trend, the average downside was 0.003%.
Hmm.
Isn't that nice?
I like numbers.
Hey, I got to give a special heads up. This is to my daughter Jennifer and her intended Greg. Greg is a former Marine recon, which those guys are tough to begin with in highly dangerous position. In addition, he was a sniper, and this was with 5th Marines. Anyway, he sends me this text, and there are two pictures. Picture one, what Obama sent the terrorists, and they're pictures of pallets of money stacked up, ready to be sent, hard cash, that the terrorists easily passed out. And then there's the picture that he sent, what President Trump sent terrorists, and it's a cruise missile. Love it. Love it. And that's where you reach out and touch somebody, forcefully, I might say. And then on the news we were just looking at, these idiots in New York are demonstrating that Trump wants to start a war. Well, Trump said just the opposite. The purpose of this is to prevent a war. And then they're saying, free Iran, protect Iran, give me a break. Well, the leadership of Iran doesn't share that, although I think the majority of Iranians do share the get them out of here. We want to go back to having a free, open nation again. Well, as open as you can be under Islam. So, anyway, those are just thoughts. Okay, Corey, you were going to let Michael comment on the mutual fund versus...
Sure.
The
ETF.
Okay.
The common, it's the common.
Your turn to shine, boy.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about the fact that a lot of those mutual funds carry some pretty significant hidden fees. You actually have to go pick up a book that they give you if you buy one called a prospectus, dig in the back of it and find the expense ratio. That's how much that fund charges.
You can go to Morningstar and easily download that.
Yep. They tell you how much they're going to charge you. It's not something that you see ever. It's not a bill that comes in the mail or something that shows on a statement. They just take it straight to the returns of the fund. So you only know what the expense is if you look it up. Go ahead.
No, then I was going to say, I don't believe, I could be wrong when I say this, but there's another critter called a trailing fee that brokers or brokerage firms get.
That's a whole other animal, though. That's just trails.
And that's still part of that internal cost. It's broken down in the prospectus. It'll tell you how much is for the actual management of the fund, how much is for the 12B1 fees, which is what Hank's talking about.
Yep.
And then how much is for publication, stuff like that. Those are their record-keeping things. And then it gives you the gross expense, which is, you know, the whole thing added up. That's typically what you'll find on Morningstar is the gross expense. When you look at that and look at the fund, it's something that we do when we evaluate our investments for clients. You know, one of the first things we look at is not all active management is bad, but are you getting what you're paying for? Are they doing more than just indexing? Indexing is just buying a whole bunch of stuff and holding on to it. You can do that with an ETF for way cheaper. So when Corey was talking about earlier, a lot of the ETFs are a quarter of the cost. If they're just closet indexing, they're going to underperform against that index.
Yeah, they usually do.
And you know, another point that I very seldom hear brought out, you could have, I know Oppenheimer did this to me years ago. They had a growth fund in biotech.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you went in and started digging into it, no, it was not quite biotech. There was a lot more. And a lot of funds, while they may say this is our investment objective, their actual results in there give it a different direction. And ultimately, Oppenheimer had to reclassify that fund.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens all the time. It's what is it, truth in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, as a portfolio manager, you're compared against everybody. So if you're trailing and you're not overweighting to the areas that are doing well, that's why one of my biggest concerns is where these ETFs and mutual funds are headed. If they're getting too top-heavy and we have too many people chasing returns, to keep their jobs, it's going to be a problem, especially if we really do see something hit the market. I know we got to take calls.
Okay. Well, excuse me.
Well, you give me the finger, so
hey,
let's go.
Hey,
take a call.
You explained to Rick.
Okay.
Hey, Rick.
Yes. Good morning, Hank. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Corey certainly wasn't speaking favorably about you.
Oh, that's not true.
Oh, what, just because I live in Callahan?
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. As soon as, hey, I praise houses out in Callahan. It's beautiful out there.
Hey, we went to a nice Christmas Eve party in Callahan. Wonderful.
This is God's country
wonderful.
Right here.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
So go ahead.
It ain't right now, but whatever. This is also gator country out here.
Yes, sir.
My question for you intelligent young men. This morning is about Social Security. I know I got something in the mail. Me and my wife, we both are retired, and both of us are over 74, and we got our Social Security checks. I understand that we're going to get a minimum. You might be able to buy a loaf of bread and maybe a gallon of milk for the raise, but I also understand that Medicare insurance is going up. What is your thoughts about it? I know y'all know more than I do.
Well, one, you got to pay the increase whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
I understand that to have insurance, you got to pay that.
Yep.
But what is the percentage of the increase on both of them?
Wow. You know, unless we can let our fingers do the dancing real quick here to find out what the actual increase, you got an increase in benefit amount.
It's 1.6% for Social Security in 2020.
Okay. And then you got a increase, and I had that in my executive summary this morning on, let's see, Social Security, blah, blah, blah.
$9.10 more expensive in 2020. It's going to be $144.60 per month.
So, I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Is Medicare going up?
Well, that was that last one there, the one $144.60, the $9.10 increase. That was Medicare.
Okay, that's Medicare. Mm-hmm. And Social Security was how much?
1.6% increase.
Okay. Basically, they're just washing.
Well, that depends on how much your Social Security is.
Give me just a second. I can calculate what the percentage change in Medicare was. 144.6.
Medicare, let's see, Medicare 9.2.
Oh,
no, that's Medicaid.
That's crazy. That's a 6.71% increase.
6.1 is what I have for Medicare.
Yeah. So, just a little shy of a 7% increase in Medicare costs.
And Social Security is only going up 1.6%.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm losing, if my mind's right, like 1.25%.
What the difference, yep.
That is crazy.
Well, yeah. Hey, Rick, I'm going to get fussed at by Scotty.
I thought Trump was going to help us, but that's not going to help me at all. That's going to hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Democrats are the ones that mess with that more than the Republicans.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I don't surprise me. I'd rather be an American than be a Democrat.
Is that a quotable quote?
That's a quotable. You can quote me till the day I die.
Okay. Well, listen, Rick, if I don't get out of here, I'm going to die because Scotty is just not tolerant. So I got to go.
That's absolutely true.
We have a good old-fashioned barbecue, maybe drink a couple of brewskis and watch some reruns. I'd get some Gator reruns if he wants to watch them.
Okay. I recommend the Michigan Gator ones. Those are usually pretty good.
No, not that one. Yeah.
Okay. Scotty, God bless. We're out of here. Hey, folks, we have to take a information break. That means we're going to bring you up-to-date Fox National News local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area, and then we're back to you and your phone calls. Lines are open, 855-765-1045. As the beautiful exotic Miss Minx will tell you, did you know?
Can you guess what the S&P 500 does in years when both January and the first quarter are negative?
Still up.
Yeah, why not?
Well, we will talk about it after the break.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5, I might add. That's WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Yes, lines are open, 855-765-1045. So as the beautiful exotic Mystic Minx tells us, better call now. 855-765-1045. You know, if she calls down, then Corey, she won't be upset and come over there.
I'm just playing. I'm playing nice. That's what I'm saying.
Good call.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, did you know?
So in years when both January and the first quarter are negative for the S&P 500, the S&P 500 finishes the year negative only a little more than 46% of the time, with an average loss of 21.16%.
Oh, that's heartwarming.
That's fairly significant. But the other 54% of the time, when it finishes positive on the year, an investor who sold would miss a 10.67% gain on average.
You know, two negatives make a positive.
And that's,
you realize that.
Over half the time they do.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. Let's get up to Ursula. Yo, Ursula.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Oh, we've got you loud and clear, 5x5. Oh. And the Mystic Minx is arms waving in the air and bouncing on her stool.
Oh, how exciting.
exciting. How exciting. Man, you guys sound so young. You sound like you're in your 20s. I don't know what kind of vitamins you're taking, but you sound good.
Really, really, really good.
You want the list?
Yeah.
And these aren't those Canadian
listen, I had, you
vitamins.
Know, I want to tell the listeners that I have come to your office to get advice and consultation on my 401k, which is a TSP account. And it's not a big account. You know, you don't need millions to go see Hank Madden and the guys. And you have helped me maintain that and put it in a balanced view. And then this year with Trump, the stock market has gone up so much that my dog, Zevi, who is a Trump fan, said, this is going to keep going next year. And Trump is going to get in 2020. And the stock market is going to keep going. And I think we ought to put more in the equities and, you know, just play the market on this. And I said, no, we got to be consistent. And so what she did was, without me knowing, she got on my laptop and got into my TSP account and moved everything. And I was very upset. So I wonder what I could tell her that would make her understand you just don't time the market just because we love Trump and we know the market's going good. This is not the thing to do to mess around.
Show her a box of cat food and tell her you're going to move two of them in and see what she says.
Oh, my gosh, that'll do it. Oh, my gosh, that'll do it. Yeah.
Okay. Comments, guys?
Well, you're absolutely right, Ursula. You don't want to time the market. You should have a definable plan on how you're going to invest any money that you have put towards the market. It's something that we constantly harp on, to have that blueprint, that financial blueprint, on how you're going to build that financial house. So first of all, you know, definitely commend you for bringing that to the forefront when so many are going to be clamoring just to throw more into the market. Have that plan. Corey?
I agree. I concur.
You concur.
Corey Damas says that's a great idea.
Oh, awesome. Well, I will tell her, I think the reason she wanted to do that was she wanted to cash out after Trump leaves office, and then she wanted to redo our garage so her friends could come over. We're just not going to do that. But thanks, Hank. And again, I want to tell all the listeners, that first visit to Madden Advisories is free. And they really mean it. They do not charge you, and you can go in there and with whatever kind of portfolio or no portfolio you got, they will sit down with you and take their time and work with you, and really appreciate that. Thanks. Great show, Hank.
Thank you, Ursula. God bless. Mm-hmm. Have a wonderful, happy new year. And
thank you.
It's okay if you do have money and want to come in too. Yeah,
I do got something to say on what she said at the end there about cashing out.
Yeah.
With everybody being up 30-something% last year, not only are they looking for higher returns this year and seeing what the best fund is and just chasing that, but as if we see more of this stuff happen with the airstrikes and this uncertainty, you're going to start seeing people just emotionally say, is it worth it? So the biggest thing is y'all have to have a plan or you'll plan to fail this year. You have the elections. You have this potential military threat. There's a lot of things going on. Who are you talking to? So I thought it was a great plug by Ursula, though.
And we didn't pay her for that either.
Nope.
Larry.
Hello, sir.
How are you? Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, sir. And thank you for what you guys are doing up there.
Yes, sir. How might I be of service?
All right. Married for 32 years up in Illinois. Got a divorce. Went through the divorce, and they have a law after 10 years alimony. There's no kids involved. They got a formula based on income on mine and hers at the time. I then since relocated here to Florida, took a cut in pay. It's been 3 years. Can I go back to Illinois and in front of a judge and try to eliminate or lower the alimony pay?
That's an excellent question, of which we're not licensed to practice law, really, in either state. I truly don't know. I would probably ask the attorney that represented you in Illinois what his or her thoughts were on that issue. They may charge you an hour for that phone call, but it would certainly be worth it and saves a long drive up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just a hard question, Larry, when I would be apprehensive of asking or answering that under Florida law.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 years is a kind of a magical number for permanent alimony. Were children involved?
No, he said no.
No children.
Okay. My best bet would be spend a couple
hundred. Although I did get stuck with their school loans.
I'm sorry?
He got stuck with their school loans.
That hurts. Of course, now something you can do is go back under a separate issue and appeal the paying the school loans, since you have had a significant loss in income.
I'm on a forgiveness program with them. I did my homework with them.
Okay.
Well, listen, God bless. I'd love to know how you come out if you call your attorney.
Yeah, well, that leaves a sour taste in my mouth, too, because I felt like I really wasn't represented by him.
Mm. Well,
there's a couple things issued that weren't brought up, and it kind of went under the table, and by the time the fire went out, I got caught holding the bag, and I lost the home when I feel I shouldn't have lost the home. But
it's got
there's no cooperation on her part.
Having experienced a divorce myself, I fully understand, and you've got to make sure that your attorney is representing that thought of protecting you and your home from the outset.
Should I look for another attorney up north?
Sure. I mean, if you're not satisfied with that one, most certainly. Yeah. I would want one that knows how to play hardball.
Right. Okay, thank you, sir. Continue what you're doing, and I'll keep you in information in the loop. Thank you.
Great. God bless, Larry, and have a blessed and happy New Year. I know it's not a fun thing to go through, and I just hate to have anyone, particularly when you have a long-term marriage and children, have to go through a divorce. It's really tough. So. Okay, be that as it may, I want to make a comment that about this market. When you look at the market fundamentals of it, and I'm a fundamentalist. When I don't like flashes in the pan. Mm. This market has some of the strongest fundamentals of any market I have ever been in. Mm. The ISM is down. That's your
Manufacturing
to 47.1. But I think this is more influenced by the outcome of the global markets, which to some degree are being impacted by the trade embargo. But global markets are beginning to show some slow growth.
Yeah, I mean, they were up 25% last year.
Yeah, they're not going to see the same growth that we have, and it's really a self-inflicted wound. It's all of the policies that they have implemented that are socialist in nature that just rip away from the bottom line of corporations, or in turn have businesses unwilling to relocate there. Having said all that, Russia is a nation that folks might want to start paying a little bit of attention to. Their economics are, over the past 5 years, and particularly three, have improved dramatically. Now, they're one of the BRICS, Brazil, India, Russia, China, your emerging markets. Their debt service Inflation has gone from like, what, 16 down to, I think, 3%. Their 10-year bonds, now this is in their currency, so that's an added woe. Anytime you start buying anything in the currency of the country that issues it, you're adding an entirely different risk. That's currency risk as opposed to ADRs, American Depository Receipts. But their 10-year is 6%. And Russia is, they've pretty much got over the swoon in oil prices, well, to a large degree. And their economy is basically an oil-driven economy. But they have weathered that. So that's just an area to look at. I would do so with caution. What do you guys think?
I mean, I can touch on it. So I am also a bit of a fundamentalist, but I'm also a technician as well. It's just the way I've been doing things. One of the biggest things that I'm actually concerned about this year is the emotional drag and just the actual change. So you could have the best house in a bad neighborhood, but it doesn't matter. And the way I look at it, and this is why I continue to bring this up week over week, is there's a logical and there's an emotional answer on anything you do when it comes to investments. Logically, you could have the best house. Emotionally, if you see your value drop 30%, what are you thinking? If you're going to retire this year and you just lost 20% of your portfolio, what do you think you're going to do? You know, so it's when I look at it, it's very technically driven, because as soon as you see one headline or anything that comes out, people start thinking, how is that going to impact me directly, and how do I self-preserve? So, you know, we continually talk about how everything is great fundamentally, but you even look at what happened in 2018 in October. Fundamentally, everything's great, but why did it drop 20%?
Well, it didn't have anything to do with anything.
No, it was all emotional.
It was an emotional correction.
And then everyone has their own self, what I call a support level. If you're a technician, you understand that. Basically, you have a certain get out of the market price. Everyone has it. If it's 10%, 20%, 30%, whatever it is, you have a point where you're like, all right, enough is enough. I'm out. If you start hitting those numbers, it's a snowball that goes down the mountain, and especially if you're chasing returns. So that's why I say I think fundamentally we're fine. However, we have two big things that are going to hit you this year that you really got to pay attention to, with a grain of salt, saying that, okay, what is the worst case scenario that can happen to me, and how do I protect my situation from that? If you're 10, 15 years away, you have less to stress about. If you have, retirement day, like some of the clients I've been working with this week that are in the next 6 months, then we got to talk. We got to figure out what's going on. Mike, what do you think?
I think we need to answer that after a break.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Gotcha.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a short. I just took the thunder out of his clouds. I'm going to give it back to you, though.
Okay.
You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Yeah, lines are open, 855-765-1045. Or we can listen to Mike and his retort. Okay, did you know?
So what happens to the S&P 500 for the year when January and first quarter results are mixed, meaning January's up and first quarter's down, or first quarter's up and January is down?
50% upside.
Nuke 'em.
What?
Nuke 'em.
He's back to the free arms.
Okay. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Did you know?
So in years where January and first quarter results go opposite directions, the S&P 500 ends the year negative 60% of the time, with an average downside of 6.94%. The other 40% of the time, when beginning the year results are mixed, the investor who sold would miss an average gain of 14.87%.
Uh-huh. Well, again, Corey, that's your numbers. Okay, Michael, your turn. Defend. I'm thinking a battery at least 6 time on target, or a battalion 6. I could do with that.
30 seconds. Go.
So, like Corey was saying, it's always important to know, you know, what your comfort level is with risk. The reason that I specifically chose these S&P 500 January facts was to point out that even when folks get spooked because of a bad start to a year, a lot of times if they do something that's a knee-jerk reaction, they're missing out on the gains, some of the best gains, mind you, because they reacted instead of following a plan that they had in place. So when you hear us talk about, if you don't plan, then you plan to fail, that's real. It does impact you from year to year.
Yep, I agree.
What amazes me is that people wouldn't build a shed in their backyard for $25,000-$30,000 without a blueprint, but they'll take $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 and give it to a broker without any thought.
Well, they're nice people.
Yeah, no.
They're my neighbor. They're my friend.
Well, and one other thing.
Yes, they are, but only if you can cultivate that.
It's a night. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Let me tag in. Right. You got like 2 minutes to go still, guys. You're good. Yeah, calm down.
But you're drowning us out.
One little note. I have to toss this in there. So one of the things that we always want to look out for whenever we're talking about investing is... Oh, it escaped me.
Oh.
Oh, no.
See, not my fault.
I was under the pressure.
The pressure guy. I can only tell you this, folks. I don't care what you're down, stay. And I've heard this comment, well, what happens if the market doesn't come back, Marty Pants? Well, I hope you got a lot of beans and bullets, because that means everything else has collapsed financially. So if you believe in America and our ability to respond and recover, then you just hang in there, because generally within a 9-month window, very seldom has it gone 2 years.
Oh, that's it.
Very, very seldom. I think of only one time.
This is the only industry when things go on sale that people run away screaming. That's what it was.
So don't get caught. Hang in there. It's a wonderful time. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. If nobody said they cared about you, wish you a happy new year, know that Mike, the Corey Adamus, the beautiful Mystic Minx, Scotty, and I do. Always remember this. The greatest investment that you're ever going to make is that very special time that you're spending with your friends and your family. Never found that asset on a balance sheet anywhere. Our American fighting men and women, our war responders, God bless you. Thank you of the incomparable sacrifices that you make that we might live in a free world. Our first responders, that's our police officers, our EMT, our firemen. God bless your families. Again, you protect us regardless of what you walk into. You're willing to do it. And you give us a safe community to live in. And always, always, Christ Jesus has given us a beautiful year last year. He's given us a beautiful beginning to our year. Take advantage. Rely upon Him. Look to Him in prayer. Fathers, the tallest you'll ever stand is when you kneel with your family, your children, and teaching them how to pray. Nobody else is going to do it. So it's got to begin in the home, and we need more of it if America is to unite again. And you stand tall when our flag, the national anthem, is being honored. That unites America and our families. Folks, God bless, wishing you all a wonderful, prosperous new year. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.